Hello there and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek and it is my pleasure to spend the next 30 minutes with you. Thank you for stopping by. Today on the show, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the second Sunday of Lent. Man, we are really into it now, aren't we? Now, you know, just to, I do this a lot. I like to make sure we have an idea of where we stand in the liturgical calendar. There are five Sundays of Lent. Today, we're going to look at the readings for the second Sunday of Lent. We have five Sundays of Lent, and then the Sunday after that is Palm Sunday, which launches us into Holy Week. So we still got a good ways to go throughout the Lenten season. But I don't know. I think it's important to know where it is we are in terms of the Lenten calendar. This week, the readings are going to focus on what is known as the Transfiguration. And I call this, or at least the Gospel is going to focus on the Transfiguration. And I call this the theme from today's show, Looking Ahead. And I'll get a little bit more into that, into what that means as we read these various readings. But also on today's program, we are going to open up my book, Give Up Worry for Lent, and look at the verse that I chose for the second Sunday of Lent. It is appropriate to read it after we do the Sunday Mass readings because of the fact that this verse that I'm going to choose, that I chose for Give Up Worry for Lent for the second Sunday of Lent, occurs directly after what we read in the Gospel, the Transfiguration. So I'm going to do the Give Up Worry for Lent after the other readings. So we got a jam-packed show. Again, I welcome you. I'm so glad to be able to spend this time with you. I hope your Lent is off to a good start. But, you know, I always like to tell you, I've said this numerous times on this show, don't get down on yourself if you've messed up. Maybe this isn't the maybe your Lent plans are not going according to schedule. You still have plenty of time. And the important thing to remember, and really when we look at Give Up Worry for Lent, that's exactly the message that I'm going to focus on. Don't panic if you mess up. We all mess up at times. The Lord is not necessarily looking for your success, at least by your standards, because I do this all the time. I set out to accomplish so much, you know, on my spiritual journey. I'm going to do this, and I expect to be at this point, especially in Lent or in Advent. But we shouldn't operate that way. We've got to try our best. The Lord's not looking for us to succeed. I mean, he certainly wants us to succeed. But really what he wants is our heart to be in the right place. He wants the effort. Because if we put in a good effort and try to grow in holiness, that's a way of expressing our love for him. So he's looking for our love. He doesn't need our success, but what he really wants is our love. And I'm not saying don't succeed, but we want to make sure this Lent isn't about us. And I've done this before. I've accomplished this amount. I didn't eat chocolate for all of Lent. I went to daily Mass every day for all of Lent. These can be good things, but we don't want to make it about us. We want to make it about the Lord. So therefore, if you happen to maybe not achieve the goal that you set out for yourself, always remember that the Lord and his Holy Spirit controls your success or your failure. Yes, you can sabotage your own efforts, but ultimately, if you try as hard as you can, you're still dependent on the Lord's grace to have a good Lent. So let's shoot for a good Lent in his eyes as opposed to our eyes. And we'll talk more about this, not just on today's show, but in the weeks to come, because it's something that I don't want you to stress about. You're supposed to try your best, as am I. And maybe I'll talk more about it on today's show after the prayer, because it was difficult for me to get started with Lent. And I think I'll tell you that on the other side of the prayer. I think it might be beneficial to you. So with that in mind, let's begin in prayer. Let's speak to our Heavenly Father and ask for his help as we begin this show. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for being here with us. We know that you are here with us. We know right now that you can see us. We know that you can hear us. We know that you love us. Father, we know that you created us out of nothing so that we could enter into a relationship with you, a relationship that will not just last for the time that we are on this earth, but one that will last for all eternity. That's how much you loved us. You wanted to create us so that we could spend eternity with you. We thank you so much for that, Father. We thank you for sending Jesus into the world to redeem us. We thank you for giving us the grace that we need to deal with the various problems and challenges of life that we face. We thank you for the promised reward of heaven. We thank you for the season of Lent, Father. And we pray that with the help of your grace, this can be a great Lent for us, and we'll grow closer to you and break away from those things which separate us from you. Father, we pray for all of our needs. We pray for all of those who have asked us to pray for them. We pray for those for whom we promised to pray and maybe forgot about. We pray for the souls in purgatory. We pray for those who are grieving, those who are lonely, those who are angry. We pray for those who are lost, who are most in need of your mercy. We pray for healing for the sick. We pray for those who care for the sick. We pray for the leadership of our country. We pray for those around the world who struggle with various things. We pray for our church. And Father, I ask you to send out your Holy Spirit upon me today so that I can deliver the message that you have for us. Additionally, I ask that you open all of our hearts and all of our minds so that we would be receptive to your message and be willing to put it into practice. Father, I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. I am Gary Zimek, and as I said at the start of the show, it is a real pleasure to be able to spend this time with you. I really do love being able to sit down and have this dialogue with you, and also to deliver God's word in sacred scripture. So as I said at the beginning, we're going to look at the mass readings for the second Sunday of Lent. And just very quickly before I start, a couple of things. If you want to find out more about my work, maybe invite me to speak at your parish, pick up a copy of one of my books, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. I want to make note of one thing. If you're still looking to get a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent, once again, the book is sold out on Amazon.com. However, they are expecting to get more in. I don't know when that's going to happen. It's sort of a mysterious operation. My publisher is working with them right now to try to get more books there. But I'll tell you, you can get the book at AveMariaPress.com. The book is published by Ave Maria Press, so you can get the book at AveMariaPress.com. And if you use promo code ZIMAK10, ZIMAK10, you'll get an additional 10% off. So that's AveMariaPress.com to pick up a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent. And if you want to find out about the other books that I've written, I have links to them on my website, followingthetruth.com. Is there something? Oh, yeah. So the other thing I wanted to mention to you is I've been focused on Lent, and it not just because of Give Up Worry for Lent, which requires me to be preparing for Lent several months in advance, but on a personal level, I really wanted to do my best to make this an effective and fruit-filled Lent for me. I wanted to make sure that I was growing in holiness, that I was asking the Lord, Lord, please help me identify my problem areas and grant me the grace to do better, and I'm going to do my best, I'm going to do my share. And as a result, I think I was so focused on it that on Ash Wednesday, I sort of panicked. I mean, I've got a zillion books. I like to start my day by doing spiritual reading, and during Lent, and I do this for Advent too, I switched out some of the books, and I brought in new Lenten books to my daily reading and my prayer, my morning prayer. But I was taking on so much that I began to panic. And when Lent started, it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I hope this works out. You know, so I have to tell you, first I have to take a sip of water. I felt a cough coming. I have to tell you, don't panic. Don't take on too much for Lent. Don't take on too little, But pray about it and try to be reasonable with what you take on for Lent, what you give up, what extra things you might take on. Because if you do too much, you're probably going to fail or get yourself really stressed out and not benefit as much as you could from this season. So I wanted to let you know that I struggled too. Now I'm back in somewhat of a groove now. Initially, I did panic, and I think I was hyper-focused on the Lenten season to the effect where I was almost losing any meaning that I was gaining from trying to do the reading. You know, did you ever get like that? You're so anxious in your mind, or you're trying to do so much, or you're putting so much emphasis on the fact that I've got to get the most out of this. I've got to benefit from this season. It's going to be over. You know, it just started, and I'm thinking it's going to be over. But I did settle in. The Holy Spirit did help me a little bit, helped me a lot, actually. But I know that feeling. Don't do whatever you can to not panic during Lent. And even if you get through the entire Lent, and you, in your mind, may not have succeeded, never rule out the fact that you may be exactly where the Holy Spirit wants you to be. It's kind of weird the way that works. Sometimes we try to take control of things, even our spiritual growth. But leave the growth up to the Spirit. Just work as practically and as hard as you can, and diligently, you know. Not, you don't want to goof off. You want to do your best, but you want to be practical. If you have family obligations, you might not be able to do all the reading or go to all the church affairs that you want to. The Lord understands that. So I hope that helps. I just want you to not panic during Lent. We've got a lot of time left. And don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes to growth during Lent. All right, let's look at these readings now, as I always do. I'm going to start off with the Gospel for the second Sunday of Lent, Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with them. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen Son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. Now, this incident that we're reading about in the Gospel, Luke's Gospel, is known as the Transfiguration. This is when Jesus took Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, as I like to call them, of the apostles, up to the top of the mountain and basically gave them a vision of heaven. Now, on the way down from the mountain, which we're going to talk about in the Give Up Worry for Lent segment at the tail end of this show, on the way down, he was telling them about his crucifixion, that he was going to have to suffer and die. That's some difficult news. And I might add also that prior to ascending to the top of the mountain, Jesus told his apostles, that if you want to follow me, you're going to have to pick up your cross, or deny yourself, pick up your cross, and then follow me. So on either side of this mountaintop experience, this glimpse of heaven, they get some bad news. And what he's really doing to them here is giving them hope for the future. That, yes, suffering is real. Suffering hurts. Suffering is painful. Suffering is part of life on earth. But it's not permanent. It will come to an end one day. And that's, for all of us, that is what is known as Christian hope, that belief that, yes, there is a heaven, and that with the help of God's grace, I can get there. And that's what Christian hope is. But it's always forward-looking, looking ahead. We have to live the present moment, but we have one eye on what awaits us in heaven. And that's, during the Lenten season, it's easy to get focused on the cross. Because that's what we're encouraged to do. We're encouraged to look at our sinfulness and also our various crosses and consciously unite our crosses, our suffering, with the suffering of Jesus. And a lot of what we meditate upon during Lent involves the passion of Christ, which is good because when we meditate on the Lord's passion, it helps us to recognize how much he loves us. And it also helps us to understand that if we're called to be like him, and we are as Christians, we're called to imitate Jesus, much of our life will involve a cross of one kind or another. Sometimes it's not bad. Sometimes it's just minor annoyances, a few aches and pains, bad weather, that kind of thing. Sometimes it is a serious cross. But the important thing for us as we go through Lent, don't lose sight of the finish line. And the finish line is not Calvary. Calvary is a stop before the finish line. The finish line for us is heaven. And when it comes to looking at the life of Jesus during Lent, the finish line for him, or our focal point, should be his resurrection. Yeah, we're gonna think about his passion. Absolutely, that's very important. But keep one eye on what lies beyond the cross on Calvary, and that's heaven. And that's where we are journeying to. We are journeying ultimately to heaven. And that's why the Lord gave his apostles a glimpse of that. He wanted to let them know, yeah, you're going to have to suffer, but look, this is what the reward is, and it's good. Let's look at Genesis chapter 15, the first reading. You're going to see a similarity here. The Lord God took Abram outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. Just so, he added, shall your descendants be. Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. He then said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession. O Lord God, he asked, how am I to know that I shall possess it? And he answered him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old she-goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Abram brought him all these, split them in two, and placed each half opposite the other. But the birds he did not cut up. Birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram stayed with them. As the sun was about to set, a trance fell upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped him. When the sun had set and it was dark, there appeared a smoking firepot and a flaming torch, which passed between those pieces. It was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I give this land from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. It's a little mysterious, this what we're seeing, this with the cut-up animals and all the craziness taking place here. But back in the time of Abram, who would become known as Abraham, God would change his name eventually, this was a common practice. This was not unusual at the time. What we need to get out of this is the fact that the Lord God was making a covenant with Abraham, promising, essentially, one day, there's going to be a Messiah, and the gates of heaven will be open, and the damage done by Adam and Eve will be undone by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Forward looking, looking ahead, just like the transfiguration. It did not happen during the life of Abram. It happened thousands of years later. But there's that hope there. The Lord saying, hang in there. You don't have it right now, but it's going to get better. Let's look at the responsorial psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation, Psalm 27. This is one of my favorites. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? Hear, O Lord, the sound of my call. Have pity on me and answer me. Of you my heart speaks. You my glance seeks. Your presence, O Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. Do not in anger repel your servant. You are my helper. Cast me not off. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Listen to this. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. I believe I'm going to see it one day. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Do you see that forward-looking language? That's what we remember as we go through the Lenten season. We've all done things we shouldn't have done. That's what it means to be a sinner. And during Lent, we're trying to address some of these problem areas and narrow the gap between the way we act and the way Jesus acted. We're trying to become more like Christ during Lent. And that's what we are doing over the course of the next several weeks. The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. Join with others in being imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and observe those who thus conduct themselves according to the model you have in us. For many, as I have often told you, and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their minds are occupied with earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord. Sort of a motivational speech, perfect for the second week of Lent. A reminder that we shouldn't focus too much. I mean, we live in this world. I understand that. We shouldn't focus too much on earthly pleasures or earthly problems or earthly accomplishments. St. Paul is saying, keep your eyes on heaven. Again, we see that hope, that forward thinking, the reminder that, yes, we will receive a reward one day. There's going to be suffering right now, but one day our tears will be wiped away and we will be able to live with the Lord forever in heaven. And I might just add that by choosing to embrace our cross with the help of the Lord's grace in this life, we're going to find a good amount of peace. It'll never be perfect because this world isn't heaven. It wasn't meant to be. But when we walk with the Lord, we can really live in a very high degree of peace. But that requires work to constantly focus on him and not dwell on our problems. So there you have it. They are the readings for the second Sunday of Lent. It's kind of like a reminder that this life isn't all there is. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on heaven. Now, I said I wanted to read the reading from Give Up Worry for Lent for the second Sunday of Lent. And here it is. It's Matthew chapter 17, verse 7. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. Now, this occurs when Peter, James, and John are up on the top of the mountain during the Transfiguration. And when they heard God's voice from heaven and the cloud representing the Holy Spirit and seeing Jesus transformed, they were looking downward. They were panicking, because they were blown away by what they were seeing. It was a good thing, but they were blown away. And they also, judging by Peter's comments, saying, let's build three booths and stay here, they didn't want to leave. They didn't want to go back down from the mountain because they recognized the power of this heavenly experience. And what I talk about in Give Up Worry for Lent, Jesus came and touched him, saying, rise and have no fear. I will say to you, If you have fallen in any way during, from the beginning of Lent until now, don't panic. We serve a God of second chances. He's not going to say, that's it, you messed up, your Lent's ruined. He's not going to do that. Rise and have no fear. Don't be afraid. We are not doing this on our own. Lent is not just a matter of willpower and trying to force ourselves to act more like Jesus. Lent's a time of transformation and cooperation with the grace given to us by the Lord. He wants to help us. He doesn't want us to do it on our own. And sometimes he's going to allow us to fall. You may have made certain Lenten resolutions. You already messed up. Or maybe you forgot about them. Or maybe you haven't done anything and you're feeling bad about yourself. Don't feel bad about yourself. Rise, get up, have no fear. Turn back to the Lord and say, Lord, let's try this again. I need your help. And sometimes when we go through things like this, when we fail in trying to become holier, the Lord lets it happen because he wants us to realize we can't do it on our own. He wants us to lean on him. So do that today. We've got plenty of time left in Lent. Don't underestimate what the Lord can do with your sincere desire to improve. That's what he's looking for. He can do great things and he can do them very quickly. So keep on keeping on. Don't be hard on yourself. Just keep trying for the remainder of Lent and continue to trust that he's going to be there for you and give you what you need. Okay, sound good? Now listen, I would ask you to please pray for me, especially during Lent, that I can grow closer to the Lord, and I guarantee I'm going to pray for you as well. So we'll pray for each other. That's the power of being able to do a show like this. We can pray for each other. Thank you so much for joining me. Again, followingthetruth.com is my website. If you want to connect with me or find out more about my work, God willing, we'll get to do this again next week as we look at the Mass readings for the third Sunday of Lent. Have a fantastic week. Remember, I'm praying for you. Don't lose hope. Keep your eye on heaven. God bless you.